Hey guys, thanks for checking out the Access Point podcast. Whether you stumbled upon us for the first time or you're a longtime listener, we thank you for coming and listening, and we hope you enjoy. We're going to read again where we were last week in Ephesians chapter 2, but really hammering in verse 10 in the fact that Paul wants us to realize that, yes, we are found as our identities are found in Christ. Our identities are found in our adoption by Christ, given an inheritance by our Creator. But also he says we are God's masterpiece. And that is a big deal. It's something maybe we just breeze past as we've read that, but there is a significance, there is power behind a true understanding when God says, human beings, humankind, you are my masterpiece. And by understanding that, we say, well, now my identity can shape my behavior. I can now walk freely in the good works that God has created for me, for those around me, for His glory. When I understand that everything is by His grace, there is a gift of faith that I have in my life, and we are considered, called, not just adopted, but God's masterpiece. It does give you, it should give you a clear understanding of how we should live and how we should walk in the understanding that we are His workmanship, His masterpiece. So let's jump back into Ephesians chapter 2. Picking up back in verse 1, it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath as the others. Together with Christ Jesus, He also raised us up and seated us in the heavens so that in the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace through His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Many translations here say we are His workmanship, His masterpiece. And then continues, "which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in Him, in them." So what Paul is reminding us is, as one who identifies in Christ, understanding our identity in Christ, we get a clear understanding of really why He created us. And then it gives a sense of purpose in our lives when we find that identity in Him. And what Paul does right out of the gate, he reveals who we were without Christ. That's the first three verses. But then he gives that hope in the realization of who we are now with Christ. Or if we're apart, who we can be in Christ. And in this, what Paul is telling us, that if we are truly finding our identity in Christ, what does that mean for us? Who are we? Well, Paul says we are chosen. He says we are holy and blameless. He says we are adopted children of God. He says we are blessed and redeemed. He says we are made heirs with a beautiful inheritance, given now the gift of the Holy Spirit, that seal on our lives. And then he says we are God's workmanship. And then he says all of this, we have to understand, is made possible because of Christ and because we are now in Christ. And that is our identity. That is the hope. That is what Paul is laying out for these Christians who have dealt with a lot, have struggled with many things, who have suffered persecution, have had to deal with false teachers and preachers. Now Paul is saying, this is who you are in Christ. But I want you to know it's only because of Christ. That grace and even that faith and the good works that come from that are all because of Christ. So again, so that no one can boast. We are in this together. We are in the body of Christ, identifying as children of God, adopted children of God, who are given something we did not earn. We cannot earn an inheritance given by God for an eternal home, a hope for security of that salvation of an eternal home with Him, and then given here on earth that seal of His Holy Spirit with us day in and day out. As Jesus Himself says, I'm sending a helper better than my physical presence. The disciples didn't understand. No, Jesus, you walking with us, talking with us, preaching to us, preaching to the crowds, that's the best. It gets no better, but Jesus Himself says, I am sending a helper which is better than my physical presence, a spirit alive and active in our lives, a seal in our hearts to remind us who we are in Christ, and all of this made possible only by Christ. And the reason really Paul is stressing all of that is Paul is reminding us that this salvation that we cling to, we have hope in, we have to remind ourselves it's not by man. It's not by you and I. It's not by our works. In fact, instead of salvation being a masterpiece that you and I have produced, believers are a masterpiece that God has produced. I mean, can you even try to wrap your head around the fact that you and I, as lowly humans, as enemies of God, as Paul talks about in Romans, while we were still enemies, God sent His Son. Christ died for you and I while we were living in opposition to Him. We are given an inheritance and we are called His masterpiece. We are called adopted sons and daughters. And if that doesn't give you a reason, a purpose in this life, then I don't know what else I can say. Because once we begin to get a glimpse of that grace and the gift of faith alive in our lives and the gift of that Holy Spirit to further us along to these good works, all because of Christ and our identity in Him, we begin to realize that all of this is because of Him. So how can I not worship? How can I not live for Him? How can I not, as Paul talks about in Romans 12, make my life a living sacrifice? This is my act of worship in the way that I live day in and day out. Thanks be to Christ's Holy Spirit in my life. What Paul is reminding us is that God saves us not merely to save us from the wrath that we rightly deserve, but also to make something beautiful out of us. And I know you can start saying, well, it's getting borderline prosperity. No, this isn't prosperity gospel by any means. Because this masterpiece, this work of becoming something beautiful doesn't mean everything's going to go our way. Doesn't mean everything's going to work out perfect. Doesn't mean the checking account's going to balance out beautifully and add commas. That's not the case. But becoming that something beautiful, that workmanship, that masterpiece means that God is with us even in the ups and downs of life. When we find our identity in Him, we realize that all the other things that used to bog us down, hold us back, really do not matter because my identity is in Christ, not based on experiences or based on what other people have said or done in my life. I am a masterpiece. I am a work, His workmanship. And what I want to look at that word, if we look at the term workmanship, we look at the reality, it comes from the ancient Greek word poema. The idea we are His beautiful poem. We are a work of art, a masterpiece. And as a master worker, God has created something beautiful in us through Jesus Christ. And that workmanship refers more than just the product of creation. It refers to the degree of skill with which the product is made, the degree of skill it imparts value to that very thing being made, you and I. One example, and yes, because I'm a builder, a carpenter, you know, always think of houses and trim work and carpentry. So, of course, I go that direction many times in my analogies and my metaphors. But one example is you say, you know, that house is of excellent workmanship. The house itself is nice, but the value is derived from the talents of the one who designed it and produced it, who brought it together from a dream, a vision, and brought it into a reality. And of course, as one in construction, I had to give a couple examples. This is not my work. Not at all. This is where you get the old axiom, little caulk, little paint, make a carpenter what he ain't. You know, we don't live by that rule. I can promise you that. that is not a job well done. That is, some would say, craftsmanship, but at LHB, this is craftsmanship. I know the guy who did some of that work. You know, not bragging, but I'll just give it, since Dad's here, he did it all. All right. But there is a difference when you refer to workmanship. You can get the job done, and yes, it's done, but the value in the labor, the talents behind that, is what adds value to what is being created. And so with that mindset, with that definition in mind, you know, really, I think workmanship is a more fitting term than masterpiece or handiwork. Because when we think about workmanship, it is really placing emphasis on the creator rather than the creation itself. Again, there is a bragging of, well, I am a, you know, a perfect specimen, whatever we may say, you know, that pride kicking in, that, you know, this is a beautiful creation, something that I made. And that may be true, but really the emphasis in its value and its beauty lies in the talents of the one who created it and not solely on creation itself. And so based on verse 10, we can say that we are wholly the result of God's creative, redemptive, and sanctifying work. And we belong to Him. He is our creator. He is the worker. We are His workmanship. And there is value in who we are, not because of the simple fact that I'm here, I'm alive, but there is value because of the one who created me with His talents, with His workmanship, with His creative, again, redemptive, sanctifying work in our lives as believers. So you and I, and what Paul is trying to stress and reiterate, is that we are God's workmanship in the true reality, in the simple fact that He created us. He created something beautiful in us and is still allowing that beauty to work in and through us for His glory and our good. Because everything God creates is of value. But what I want you to see is nothing in creation compares to His work in creating mankind. Now, that doesn't add to our pride, but it should add to our sense of value in the fact that this is what God has called me, His workmanship, His masterpiece. I mean, think about the creation story. From the sky to the rivers to even the crickets and the frogs, God merely spoke, and these things were. For 6 days, God said, "Let there be," and it was. But let's think about mankind. On the sixth day, He did something different. God reached down into the dust, into the mud, and formed a man. And then He breathed, as Genesis 2:7 says, into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That breath God brought was His very own life into His workmanship, into His created thing, is now a work of art, is a part of His workmanship. It is His masterpiece. The human being now possesses a spirit unlike any of the rest of the animals and plants in His creation, because God was and still intimately involved in the creation of humankind, of you and I. We are His workmanship. And you guys have heard me say it, and I don't want to get too far off on this rabbit trail, this tangent, but I see it too often, so I got to say it again. You know, we hear people passing, and we say, God needed another angel. The first problem with that is God doesn't need anything, okay? So let's stop saying that. Yes, your loved one was special. You love them. But as human beings, we are His masterpiece, His workmanship, His beautiful creation. We are something unique. So saying your loved one is now an angel is a demotion, okay? No, God doesn't need another angel, okay? So first and foremost, let's get that out of our head. But two, I want you to understand the value of human life, that we are His workmanship. We are something unique and special. We are given the breath of life by God, our Creator Himself. we are called his masterpiece, his workmanship, his creative, redemptive power was given to mankind. We are a unique and special creation. There is value in that. So there's no sense of becoming an angel. We already are a special creation. We are, yes, given then a special inheritance. Not that you and I deserved it or earned it, but because of his grace and the gift of faith that he gives us and then works good things through us from that grace, from that faith, building into our lives. So we are God's workmanship in that he created us. We are unique, and that should add value to your day-to-day life. When it's hard to wake up, when it's hard to roll out of bed, hard to go back to the same old job, the same old life, understand no matter what this life throws, no matter how dull it may seem to me at times, this is a life that God has created through me, in me, for me, through his son Jesus Christ, to do good works, to make an impact, to be his hands and feet on this earth. Because I am his workmanship, his masterpiece, then my life should reflect that, look like that, and I should show the love of God wherever I am and show a sense of purpose in every step of my life. No matter how dull it may be, understanding we are his workmanship, a unique and beautiful creation, you should have a sense of value in who you are in Christ. And so we are his workmanship in that he is our creator. He created us, especially, specifically, in a unique way. But we are also God's workmanship in that he has redeemed us. As God knew he would, as God knew we would, mankind rebelled against his authority. We defiled God's workmanship and introduced sin into his perfect world. And from that very moment, God put into motion his plan to redeem you and I, to redeem his special creation, to restore them back to their original design. We see that picture in Genesis 3, specifically verse 21 through 23. And what we see is before the foundation of the world, God planned this redemptive act, which would ultimately result in the crucifixion of his son as that ultimate sacrifice for you and I, taking the wrath that you and I deserve, taking it on for our sake, taking it on for you and I, because it is impossible for us to work our way to God. It is impossible for us to redeem ourselves back to a holy, perfect creator. His creation has rebelled, but he has redeemed us. And that workmanship was costly, because if we are redeemed, it is only because of his son. And that cost was the precious blood of his son, Jesus Christ. We see that reference in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. The truth that we are God's workmanship is expressed in the context of our salvation. And, you know, just looking back at where we were, it says, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." There is a context and understanding. Our salvation is found only in him. That redemption back to our creator is found only in him. That he has prepared for us these good works and has given us the gift of faith, offered us grace and mercy that you and I do not deserve at all. Because what I want you to see is the emphasis is the grace and the gift of faith from God. Not saved by our own works, for the simple fact that we are God's work. We are his workmanship. It is nothing we can do on our own. Only by our designer and our creator, our builder, that we can be given salvation, offered redemption. We cannot save ourselves. And so we are his workmanship in that we are created, and in that we are redeemed, and we are God's workmanship in that he sanctifies us and fits us for service. He forms us the way he wants for his own pleasure and purpose. And despite the imperfection that we may find in ourselves or debate and argue with God, you know, why would you make me this way? Well, you and I, taking the analogy of clay, You know, the clay cannot say to the potter, why did you make me this way, God? This doesn't make sense. We have to understand God knows what he's doing. He uses the sculpting tools of adversity, of relationships, both good and bad, challenges, and sometimes miraculous interventions to mold us into the image of Christ. And just a reference, not an exact quote, what we just said, you can find in Romans 8:28. But the picture is that God knows what he's doing. Why do we question? Why do we doubt? Why do we argue? Why do we blame? Instead of saying, God, this is how you made me. And this is how you're molding me. And yes, a lot of times, God, I've tried to take over. And it's caused nothing but pain and trouble and setting me back by kicking open doors I shouldn't have, by walking through doors that you had purposely shut, or whatever I tried to do on my own. And I understand that you are the potter, I am the clay, so I need to trust your design. If I'm your workmanship, then I need to trust in your work in my life. You are working to sanctify us. You have redeemed us through your Son, Christ, and you're sanctifying us through that daily life, through that daily work of worshiping you, allowing our lives to be that sacrificial example of love and worship to you. So God, instead of arguing, instead of debating, instead of pointing the finger, God, help me to trust in your design and your work. Because if I identify in you, identify as your masterpiece, as your workmanship, then help me trust in the work that is being done in my life through you, because of you, and because of your process of sanctifying me, a thing that I don't deserve. But what is hopeful and what we have to cling to is that he promises to finish. As I've always said, he's batting 1,000 on his promises. And if he promises to finish what he has begun in us, then we can trust in that process. And part of that process, the goal is good works, as we see in Ephesians 2:10. And what, looking back, the original language, the word translated created in verse 10 describes, again, only God's activity. And it denotes something he alone can produce. If he is the worker, if he is the potter, the craftsman, if he is the creator, then we have to trust in his process of sanctification. We have to trust in his promise that he will finish what he has begun. We have to trust that I don't know what's best even for my own life, but God, my worker, my artist, my potter, my creator knows what's best because I am his workmanship. And only the creator knows his work intimately and deeply and knows what's best for me, with the goal, the end result of good works flowing out of my life through the work of that Holy Spirit, through the work of that sanctification in my life, because of the redemption that he's allowed, that rebuilding of a relationship between fallen AJ and a holy God, you as fallen creation and our holy creator. But what we have to see is these good works are not the roots from which salvation grows, but is the fruit that God intends our salvation to bear. God has not saved us because of our works, but he has saved us to do good works. Our good works come out of that redemptive plan, out of that sanctifying work in our lives, out of what he is working in and through us because of his Son, Jesus Christ, and with the help of the Holy Spirit. These good works don't save a soul, or else Christ's sacrifice would have been null and void. It wouldn't have been necessary if we could have done it on our own. But because we couldn't, his Son bore our sin, our wrath on the cross to redeem his creation, to create good works in us because of that Holy Spirit, that seal in our lives. And that's why he has given us gifts. He's given us scripture. He's given us his Holy Spirit in order to enable us to carry out his works in this fallen world. Think about a light, a lantern. As a lantern exists to shed light, so you and I as a church, we exist to spread the light of the gospel to the lost and dying world around us, to those we come into contact daily at work or friends or family or just during our daily lives. Our goal is to produce good works so that light of Christ is shining through us because of that sanctifying work of Christ and His Holy Spirit in our lives. And so when we allow His light to shine through us, we are displaying the very work of our Creator. We are displaying His workmanship. And the beautiful thing that God is making of us is active in good works. It should be active in good works. If we are, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, a new creation, part of that new creation means there is something different. There are works that come out of our life and our displays are proof of our salvation in Him. These works do not save us, but it is proof of the very sanctifying work of Christ in our lives. These are just as much a part of God's predestined plan as anything else. These good works are valid evidence that you and I, that someone is walking as one of God's chosen, as one who truly identifies as Christ. It is proof in the works that we produce, in the way that we live our lives. There will be a change. There will be noticeable changes. And when people knew who you were, as Paul talked about in the first three verses, and now you're in Christ, they'll begin to see, you used to talk different. You used to treat others different. You used to have habits that were different. But now, what is it about you that I can't put my finger on? It is the work of the Holy Spirit, that sanctifying work in our lives, producing good work, not to secure our salvation, but to show proof of what God is doing in our lives. Not for the sake of others, saying, I told you I was a Christian, but to show that this is the goal of Christ's work in my life, that I am changed, I am a new creation, that good works flow out of my life for His glory and not mine. We, in a sense, prove our faith by our works, not for others, but for the glory of God, that my life now is focused in a different direction. My goals are reoriented towards Christ and Christ alone and His glory and glory alone. And so we know as believers that once we find that identity, when we know who we are in Christ, we begin to understand that I'm not locked into getting a checklist of, okay, I got to make sure I do good works today. But no, now it's a sense of I can walk freely in the good works that God has already created for me. I can now live out my purpose and God's plan in my life, the goal of living a way that glorifies Him, that does good for those around me, that shows love that I could not have shown apart from Christ, but now I'm able to walk freely in these good works that God has planned, has set apart for me to do. Because as Harold Honer says, God has prepared a path of good works for believers, which He will perform in and through them as they walk by faith. This does not mean doing a good work for God. Instead, it is God's performing His work in and through believers. And he referenced Philippians 2:13. And so we do not try to, or do not need to try to keep earning our place in God's heart. You know, that is that religious side of, I keep getting my check marks done for the day. I'm now approved by God. I'm now a pleasure to God. God, did I please you today by doing enough good and just maybe a little bit bad? I shouldn't have said that one word or treated that person that one way, but as long as the good outweighs the bad, God, we're still good, right? I'm still in your good favor. But no, that throws that out of the window where we no longer need to keep trying to earn our place in God's heart. Our identity in Christ is sealed. That is that Holy Spirit in our life, that seal of Christ's work, the redemptive plan, that sanctifying plan in our life, and is active and it produces good works. In fact, we live in a loving obedience to His call as we strive to faithfully reflect His image to our fellow men, to those around us, whoever it may be. And so if we really embrace our identity in Christ, we understand that God will continue to transform our hearts to reflect Jesus. That is a work, that sanctifying work in our lives. It's not instantaneous, you know, where many people come to Christ expecting the temptations, the struggles to just vanish. But no, it is a process of sanctifying us to be more like Christ day in and day out. That redemptive plan is now set. We are redeemed to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now sanctification begins to transform us to be more like Christ through our good works, through the love that we show us, through the worship and glory that we give to God. In fact, that's why Jesus, He gives us the two greatest commands, love God and love others. And when you and I embrace our identity in Christ and allow God to work through us, our actions will be affected. Our love for others will change. Our love and worship to God will begin to change. It will no longer be just a check mark or I feel good about that worship session, but I do this because of who God is and what God is doing in and through me. And so whatever our circumstances, God will work through us to accomplish His goal. In fact, Luther once said, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. So part of that greatest command, we are called to love. And we love our neighbor not because they need it necessarily, not because they are, we do it because there is a sense of showing who God is in their lives and also in our lives, helping them see their identity and not loving them or doing something as a check mark of, well, I helped them change a tire on the side of the road. I helped cut their grass where they're a hospital, and that's our means to an end. We're not loving them because of just making ourselves feel better or getting some sense of approval. We do it because the love of God is now living through us and is affecting the way we treat others around us. And so the good work of God, truly, when we understand it and God working through us, it frees us to fulfill that calling He has given us, that calling to love your neighbor in ordinary ways in our workplaces, our families, in our neighborhoods, is now a way that we can not just, again, have a means to an end to feel good about ourselves, but is now a freedom to obey God, to show God worship, to bring glory to God through our acts of kindness and love to those around us. It frees us up to live as God has created us when we understand who we are in Him. And so when we understand that identity, we live it out, and it should compel us to love others as Jesus loved, as Christ has called us to love. And so when Paul says in Ephesians that it is by grace you have been saved, it is deeply connected to the work you do in your everyday life, because God created you to do good works. Because of grace, you are freed from doing your works as some, you know, sort of merit system that earned your favor with God. And because of grace, you are even freed from using works as some sort of system that helps you feel better about yourselves. We are now free to live as Christ has created us. We are set free to do the good works for the one who created us, the very potter, the creator, the worker who has called us His workmanship. We are now set free from sin, set free to do good works for Him. Not that it earns us favor, not that we're on some merit system, and not that it saves us, but because it brings glory to God and it allows us to understand our place in this world. By understanding our identity in Christ as His workmanship, we understand that our work now is God working through us, adding a sense of understanding of my purpose in this world. I am working for the one who prepared these things ahead of time for us. That adds, again, a true sense of, you know, value to this life. God is using me to help others see their value in Christ. God is using me to bring change in people's life, not because I am good, but because God is good and He is working in and through me because of His grace, because of the gift of faith, because of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that redemptive work on the cross and that sanctifying work of His Spirit in my life day in and day out. I am set free to find who I really am in Him. So now my life reflects the worker who has created His masterpiece in you and I. If we are his workmanship, then let's begin to reflect the very one who has created us, who has called us his masterpiece. We are unique. We are called apart. We are set apart. We are God's work of art, a masterpiece again. And as a master worker, God has created us in Christ Jesus for good works. And so when you and I understand our identity in Christ, that it is saved by grace through faith for good works, we understand who we are meant to be and how we are meant to live. And our lives are freed up and given a sense of value, a sense of purpose. There's no longer an identity crisis of what should I do next? What can I contribute to this world? But God says, I created you for good works. I have set these ahead of time for you to do. Now you can live freely in these good works, not worried about a merit system, not worried about earning favor, because my son died on the cross to redeem you, and now I've given you the gift of my Holy Spirit to live in you, to sanctify, to make you more like me. So now you live in that purpose, you live in that identity, and you understand there's value in my creation, in humanity, in you. Not that you earned it, not that you deserved it, but because of my love and my grace and my mercy, because you are my workmanship. That is a beautiful picture. And it should cause a life of worship to him. It should cause a life of change. No longer chained down with getting enough good in our life to appease a wrathful God, but to live in a life of good works to show glory, honor, and worship to the very one who's created us for these good works, who's created good works in us before the foundation of the world, set us apart, called us children of God, sons and daughters, because of his grace, his mercy, offering us the gift of faith. That's a beautiful picture. That is the gospel of Christ. And if that doesn't give you a sense of purpose and value in this world, then I don't know what else can. If God has called you his workmanship, it doesn't matter what the world calls us. We are God's workmanship, set apart to do good works, to show his love in a fallen world, giving us hope and a security of an eternity with him despite this fallen world and our own sins and rebellion against God. That is God's love. That is God's mercy. And he's called us to find that identity in him and him alone. Let's pray. Hey guys, it's AJ Layton, lead pastor at Access Point Church. We're so glad you guys have found us, stumbled upon us, or been long listeners. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our page, share with your friends. We look forward to seeing you next week.